Welcome to MSK Radar Note.
Let's spend 5 minutes refreshing the key points of knee meniscus MRI. The meniscus is a C-shaped piece of fibrocartilage, thick at the periphery, thin toward the center. The peripheral vascular zone can heal and be repaired, but the central zone near the free edge is essentially avascular, so tears there usually don't heal. On MRI, a normal meniscus is uniformly low signal on every sequence. So the rule for any high signal is simple. It only counts as a tear if it disrupts the articular surface. Over the next few slides, we'll go through the counting rules of anatomy, the tear patterns you have to know, cysts and the discoid variant, and finish with the pitfalls and the key numbers.
Start with two IRA rules of anatomy. First, in the medial meniscus, the posterior horn is always larger than the anterior horn. If that's reversed, if the posterior horn looks small, suspect a tear or prior partial meniscectomy. Second, in the lateral meniscus, the anterior and posterior horns are about the same size. On a sagittal 4mm slice, the body segment shows up as a bow tie shape. Normally, you'll see 2 to 3 bow ties, and then 3 to 4 triangular slices for each horn. The ratio of body to horn should be about 1 to 2 or 1 to 3. If you see fewer than 2 bow ties, the body is missing. Think bucket handle, a flipped fragment, or radial tear. If you see more than 2 bow ties, think discoid meniscus, which is most common on the lateral side, in roughly 3% of people.
The single most important sentence for diagnosing a tear. The signal has to disrupt the articular surface to count as a tear. If it doesn't reach the surface, it's just intrasubstance or myxoid degeneration. It doesn't hurt and doesn't need treatment. About 90% of cases are clear-cut. The other 10% are borderline. And there, you just describe the imaging and let the clinical picture decide. Know your tear patterns. Oblique or horizontal tears are the most common, usually on the undersurface of the medial posterior horn, and they are degenerative. A vertical longitudinal tear can progress into a bucket handle, which is about 10% of tears. Look for the absent bow tie and the double PCL sign. A radial tear cuts across the hoop fibers, and it has 3 appearances: the ghost meniscus, the cleft, and the truncated triangle, the cleft being the most reliable. A root tear is a radial tear at the posterior root attachment, and it causes meniscal extrusion and accelerated osteoarthritis. And one reminder, when there's an associated ACL tear, your sensitivity drops. So look extra carefully at the lateral meniscus posterior horn, at peripheral tears, and for a ramp lesion. Now to cyst and a discoid meniscus. A paramenisceal cyst is almost always tied to a horizontal tear. The mechanism is a ball valve where fluid is squeezed out through the tear and gets trapped at the meniscal capsular junction. Always flag this for the surgeon because if you only drain the cyst without addressing the tear, the cyst comes back. An intramenisceal cyst is a bit different. It usually doesn't show a T2 fluid signal. It looks more like intrasubstance degeneration. And when it collapses, it can even mimic a horizontal tear. A discoid meniscus is a congenital malformation. The diagnostic criterion is more than 2 bow ties on sagittal images. It's most common on the lateral side, about 3% of people, and rare medially. It can be symptomatic even without a tear. The most dangerous variant is the Risberg type. It lacks the normal capsular attachment, held only by the meniscal femoral ligament of Risberg. So on knee flexion, the posterior horn subluxes into the joint. It's mostly seen in children. The treatment is reattachment to the capsule. Never do a meniscectomy, or you'll cause premature osteoarthritis.
The pitfalls all cluster at the posterior horn of the lateral meniscus, and there are 4 classics. First, the meniscofemoral ligament,
whether it's Humphrey or Risberg, about 75% of people have one, mimics a peripheral tear at its insertion. The trick is to follow it on sequential sagittal images all the way to the PCL. Second, popliteal artery pulsation artifact projects across the meniscus. Just swap the phase and frequency directions and it disappears. Third, the magic angle phenomenon gives intermediate signal only on short TE sequences and vanishes on long TE-T2. So although short TE is mandatory, always check it against T2. Fourth, the popliteus tendon runs between the meniscus and the capsule, and with an associated ACL tear, it's easily mistaken for a vertical longitudinal tear. A couple more on the anterior horn. There's a speckled appearance laterally from the ACL fibers inserting, present in 60% of normal people. And the transverse ligament inserting at the anterior horn also looks like a tear. Trace it along the Hoffa fat pad to recognize it.
Let's finish with a few numbers. The normal body-to-horn ratio is 1 to 2 to 1 to 3. Fewer than 2 bow ties, think tear. More than 2, think discoid. Discoid lateral meniscus is about 3%. Medial is rare. The meniscofemoral ligament is present in about 75% of people. Don't call it a peripheral tear. The speckled appearance at the anterior horn laterally shows up in 60% of normals. Bucket handle tears are about 10% of all meniscal tears. Remember the absent bow tie plus the double PCL sign. On MRI, about 90% of cases are definitive and 10% borderline. And there, you describe the findings and let the clinical exam decide. Whenever you see meniscal extrusion, go looking for a root tear. And if you see a meniscal capsular separation, the patient shouldn't just brace and play. It needs immobilization or repair. Hold on to these few rules and you've got about 80% of meniscus MRI covered.
If this episode helped your learning, please subscribe and share it with your colleagues. You can also support the show on Ko-fi. See you next time.